Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Rise and shine. Now, he makes mentions here about darkness covering the earth, gross darkness. And I think historically, and I'm a student of history, there's been times, there's darker times, and times it's not as dark. we're sort of in a dark time now. There's a lot of just gloomy clouds over the earth, not just here, but over the nations of the earth. And I was pondering on that, how over time, there's been times and seasons it's been real dark. Like, say, World War II, for example, the world was at war largely, and it was a very dark time. And previous to that, you had the Great Depression, and there was a darkness, a heaviness. And throughout history, I mean, times where you have like communist oppression in certain nations, large portions of the earth's population would be under a cloud of darkness. The United States largely has avoided a lot of that, although we've had our dark cloud moments as well. I know in my mom talked, like, growing up in the 60s, that was a dark time in this country. And for those that weren't alive then, wouldn't necessarily think about it or have any thoughts, really. But, you know, there was a lot of racial tension. There was sexual revolution, drug counterculture, Vietnam War, our country than anything. And it was a dark time. And in the midst of dark times, the Spirit of God will move, that light can shine, bring people out, ever be looking for life and light. Just as the Civil War was a terribly dark time in our nation's history, but a lot of people don't realize 1857 to 59 was one of the great revivals in the history of our nation. Right before that war, God brought light for those who would have a heart to want the light to come out and not be completely overwhelmed with the darkness that was about to overtake through that war, where you have state against state, brother against brother, and hundreds of thousands of people being killed. There was a move of God right prior to that. So, When you study history, God always makes a way. And in the midst of the darkness, he'll have light there that for whoever would latch a hold of it can lay hold of life and rise above that very thing that's happening around them. If we do not receive Christ as our light, the darkness that's around us can just overwhelm to where it just dominates everything. And in our text here, it says darkness will cover the earth. You know, so there's times where it's worse some places in the earth than others, at certain times than others. But in the context here, the verses previous speaks of truth falling in the streets and so forth, but it speaks of God raising up the intercessor, Jesus Christ, to come and bring deliverance to us and redemption. And he speaks at the last verse of chapter 59 about us having a covenant with God where we would have his word put in our mouth and that we can hold fast to the word of God, which really is where victory for us lies, regardless of the amount of darkness. See, it doesn't matter how much darkness it is, God's light's still greater. And I've been pondering on these verses since 2 weeks ago as I was sitting here while we were during worship time. And I had a vision. I mentioned this to you, but I'm going to say it again. How when we were building this building and we were about to make the last pour of concrete, which was this about here on back. And I had set up for the concrete trucks were on their way. We had rented equipment, power troughs. There was two other brothers coming, had some experience with concrete. The three of us were going to pour it and finish the concrete. And it was all set up. And it was rain moving in. And you can't pour concrete in the rain. You can't finish it in the rain. And standing right here, it's like, Lord, we need a miracle because we had a schedule. You know, we couldn't just, you can't just like send the concrete back. It's already mixing in the truck. It's on the way. And just stood and believed God for a miracle. And it literally was pouring down, raining all day. And you could look right out here, the parking lot, the road, pouring down rain, the cornfield over here, pouring down rain behind us. And there was a window opened up right above this area where no rain fell. And like I say, it was pouring rain. It wasn't just like a little shower here and there. It was pouring rain. When I got home, I turned on the weather channel and it was showing that day there was rain across the whole state all day. But God opened a window of light right here. Now, I wasn't violating the prayers of the farmers. Still rained on all their fields if they were believing God for rain, which I assume they probably were. Yes, you know, like the idea, well, I want to have a picnic, so we'll pray for some miracle. To me, that's selfish and ridiculous. Okay, what's the purpose? Is really your picnic that important? But the fact that we already were committed financially to a truckload of concrete and the equipment rented and two guys taking off from work to come, and we were going to pour this concrete. I didn't have a problem seeing an interruption in the sky right here. And God did that miracle for us for that purpose. So my point, the reason he was showing me this was that regardless of the degree of the storm clouds, above that storm, the light's still shining. The sun's still there. Okay? And the light of Christ is shining toward us, no matter how bad a storm cloud is on the earth in terms of the evil or the sinfulness of man or whatever's going on. Makes no difference. The light of Christ is above all of that. And we need to arise and shine for the glory of the Lord's risen upon us. Well, I guess it was the next day I was fellowshipping with Brother Dale Armstrong. And he said almost the same thing. So I said, well, what's the Lord showing you? And he said, well, I hate to say this, but I just see dark clouds over our nation. It's like, we're not through it yet. Now, there's times, you know, where it's like better times, there's times it's darker times. And that witnessed to me that there's still things, there's things happening, and we need to be careful that we don't allow anger or bitterness, but that we continue to believe God for the light of Christ above all of that to shine through the storm clouds. And if for no one else, he'll do that for you, to your life, because you have a covenant with God. And we need to be believing God and to rise up, because we believe that sun is still shining. The light of Christ is still being released in our behalf. So, you know, we have to be careful. We don't ever allow a mindset of, well, I'm a Christian, I should never have to go through anything. Well, what's happening in the world is happening to everyone. And it's not about you being a good person or anything else like that. That's self-righteous thinking. But rather, there's things that happen in the earth, and we are the ones that have received the light of Christ. We need to rise up and take our place and make a difference. Now, I want to do a little history thing here with you as I ponder back over this. I mentioned how, like, in the 60s, it really was a bad time. I mean, it was a bad time. And then it went into the 70s, and Carter was president. We had double-digit unemployment, inflation, and interest rates. And as bad as things are now, I still don't think it's as bad as it was then. But that's a matter of perception. But those are numbers, hard numbers. I'm just stating to you there. And it was a dark time. And in the midst of that, the Spirit of God moved. You had the charismatic move. He was invading denominations with the Holy Ghost. You had the Word of Faith movement, where good teaching of the Word, people were being raised up to bring forth a greater revelation of the Word of God back in the 70s, you know, into the 80s. And that was, at that time, this church was born, and many, many others like it, because it was something the Spirit of God was doing. But another thing that was happening back in the late 70s, in through the 80s, even into the early 90s, was there was a move of God amongst the people of God in prayer. A strong move of God. And I say this because I was a part of it. Not to take any credit for anything. I just was part of it. Okay? Many of you were a part of it. For some of you, it was before you were born. So you just have to take my word for it and go back and study your history a little bit. But there was a great move of God where the people of God, many, were being moved to pray. There was an event called Washington for Jesus, 1980. We went to that. Don and I were only married 2 years. It was well over 1 million people. There was a cry. And there were many committing to prayer. And I remember at those times, now that the church was more newly born, and yeah, I'd get around to different camps. Wasn't just like one group of ministry people I was around. I used to love to hear the old timers talk about, like in 40s and 50s. The miracles that happened. Now, entertainment didn't have a very strong foothold in our society back then like now. You could get 2.5 channels on TV. Two and the other one looked like it was you're washing through a snowstorm. How many remember those days? And then you probably only had a black and white TV, so the snowstorm part didn't really matter. And people were far more inclined to gather together in fellowship. I mean, I grew up, my grandmother was a widow. And I go to church. Go to her house. Every Sunday, all family get together. The meal and fellowship. I thought that was normal. I don't know if it was or it wasn't. That's how I grew up. Thought it was normal. But you didn't have all the entertainment stuff. People lived a simpler life. Stores were not open on Sunday. I don't know how many of you remember that. I think they called them blue laws. And you went to church, got together with family, had meals together. And over time, that continued to erode away because people were more and more being taken with entertainment. Make more money for more entertainment. Run here and run there. Anyway, there's a move of God there relative to prayer. And I would hear the old timers talk. They pray all night and fast and pray. And I felt as though back in the early 80s, we weren't even holding a candle to them. That's how I felt. And we started out a strong commitment prayer in this church. And making intercession. Because that's what the Spirit of God was saying and doing back then. And historically, people said, oh, well, like Reagan changed the country. I want to tell you, it was prayer of the saints. Across the nation, prayers of the saints. And he happened to be president. He was a good president. He inspired hope. But God gave us another opportunity. We rose up out of the malaise that was, and what was, how things were back then. And there was a prosperity came. Beginning like in the 80s into the 90s, people prospered more and more. But there wasn't really a repentance to the heart like needed to be. So then people just get caught up more and more wanting that kind of life. And you had the commitment to prayer decreasing. And I remember when we were getting ready to go into war with Iraq in 1991. Riding up the roads around here, and the churches were all packed up. Churches that don't have prayer meetings. The people were scared about this war. And that war only lasted, 4 days? And after that, the church lots were all empty again. People were back to money and pleasure, ruin the day. To where that becomes like the new normal in people's minds. And the the degree of darkness that begins to gain ascendancy really directly corresponds to the body of Christ, prayer or not, releasing the power of God. If we can just be content with some status quo, we won't pay the price in prayer. So you kind of get to a point where people say, "Well, we've got to do something here," and that's how it was back then. There was just a real cry to God in prayer, and it's funny, I get emotional trying to even talk about this stuff. I didn't used to get emotional like this trying to talk about these things, but Christ already came. He's given us a covenant. To those who cry out to him, they can bring change. There can be a breakthrough in the storm clouds where the light can shine down again. One of the things we see reading on in these verses here, even though the darkness would cover the earth, God's people will arise and shine. The Gentiles would come to the light, and the Gentile nations. And one of the things that, as you read on in this chapter, it sort of jumped out at me. What it talks about, the abundance of the sea being converted. Well, the waters and sea, that can all be referenced to people. You know, the peoples of the earth, God desires for the harvest of souls to come in. And as people lose their hope in the natural, they're reaching for hope. Of course, that's prime ground for like Antichrist spirit. But as God's people will arise and shine with the light of Christ, in the midst of the darkness, a great opportunity for the kingdom of God. And that's how we have to see it, not life's tougher, inflation, blah, 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 blah. Not complaining about all that, but rather see the opportunity that the more the darkness is covering the earth, the more people have no hope in the natural, which is a good thing for the kingdom of God, because their heart might begin to open a crack for the gospel. And we need to be diligent in prayer and to shine forth the light of Christ, making a difference. And one of the things reading on through that chapter is that there's times of visitation from the Lord on nations. And nations can miss their day. And again, history is filled with these things where there was times for the gospel to go certain places and they missed it. One of the things was, I think it was Marco Polo went to China, and he had purposed to take the gospel there as well. And only they put a call out through wherever he was in Europe, whether it was Italy or England, I forget which. But there's only like two missions. Oh, he went to China and had favor with the emperor and said, "Well, if you bring missionaries back, I'll dispatch them through the kingdom." And he only was able to get two to go back with him. One of them died on the way, and the other got discouraged. And there was an opening for China back. This is hundreds of years ago. It was missed. And at the end of World War II, when the Japanese were defeated, General MacArthur said, "Send 10,000 missionaries to our country. Their God has fallen," which they worship their emperor. "We can take Japan for Christ." This was our head of all our military in the Pacific. A Christian man said, "We can take Japan for Christ." We didn't. The church wasn't ready. Didn't have missionaries ready, and missed. And again and again and again. And when the Soviet Union opened up like 1990, church wasn't really ready again. There were many. You know, we went in there. Brother Dale did a great work. There was many who went in, but not nearly enough. The church wasn't ready for the hour, for the moment. They couldn't see by faith that communism was going to come down. And I would jokingly say, having had the privilege to be in there in the early years, you could give the definition of a deacon and everybody gets saved. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But people knew nothing but bondage, addictions, oppression, fear. So when they heard the hope of the gospel, they're just running to Jesus. And it's a glorious thing to see that. When we were in Hungary and Serbia in 93, the early days of the move of God in those areas. And I remember one brother that was with me. I mean, every night we were with a bunch of Swedes, Bible school students from Sweden. And they give you an altar call, and most of the people get saved. We just... standing there weeping. Weeping with joy. Because there's people, no doubt, you know, terribly oppressed. Their economies were crushed. And hope came. Because there were some people that, amidst all the darkness then, made a choice to arise and shine. You can make a difference in somebody's life, but there's first a decision to rise up, knowing that the light of Christ is shining above those storm clouds and can break through, and there can be an opening in that storm, and that there are people crying out. What's sad is Christ has been misrepresented a lot in our country by religion. People think they know about Jesus and they don't really. They need to see the real deal. And that's only if we'll live him. You know, not be complainers or living for self, but purposing to make a difference. Purposing to make a difference. The exhortations, they arise and shine. For your light has come. Christ already came. He already brought life and light to us. And we can rise up and make a difference, or we can watch the opportunity slide by. In our country, we can't really afford to lose another generation. We can't afford that. I've been saying this for 25 years. We've got to have a move of God or the nation could be lost. I shared that same message over 25, 30 years ago. And it seemed so imminent then, but now it's really upon us. You know, the fabrics of our nation are collapsing around us, and people scratching their heads. Well, why? It's real simple. Because there's been a forsaking of the Lord in the pursuit of pleasure and money. I'm just calling it what it is. And apart from any conviction of the Holy Spirit, people just continue on doing the same things but hoping for something different.